across the boot heel of Missouri. The forecast for East Central Illinois this afternoon, mostly sunny with scattered showers and thunderstorms. We'll see a high near 90. Maybe we could go over 90. The wind light and from the north. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 65 and a wind out of the northeast from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 83. The wind from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 64 and a northeast wind from 5 to 10 miles per hour. The outlook for Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 85. Friday night, mostly clear with a low in the mid-60s. Saturday through Tuesday, partly cloudy with highs in the upper 80s and lows around 70. At noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana were in the 80s. Sunshine reported across most of the two states. At Rockford, it was 87, 84 at O'Hare, 86 at Bloomington, 84 at Mattoon, 88 at Carbondale. At South Bend, 85, 87 at Lafayette, 86 at Indianapolis. Terre Haute reported 85 degrees. Willard Airport reported 85 degrees at the top of the hour. The sky mostly sunny. The dew point, 68. The relative humidity, 56%. The barometric pressure, 30.02 and steady. And the heat index as of noon at Willard Airport was 88 degrees. Again, on the campus of the University of Illinois, 88 degrees, the sky mostly sunny. Cedar Fair is a billion-dollar company that operates amusement parks from King's Dominion on the East Coast to Knott's Berry Farm in California. It is one of America's leading entertainment companies, and it is at the center of a fight between a hedge fund, some entrenched managers, and in between, lots of small shareholders. Tim Riddell of NPR member station WKSU reports.
The locals call this the roller coast. Cedar Point, a tiny spit of land in Lake Erie, is home to the most roller coasters in the world, the second oldest amusement park in the country, and the headquarters of Cedar Fair, second to Disney in the domestic amusement park business. And locals here in Sandusky, Ohio, are the key to the company's future. That's because the majority of shares in Cedar Fair are still held by independent investors, a situation that George Dent of Case Western Reserve University says is increasingly rare in corporate America.
It's very unusual these days. Well over half of the equity of most publicly traded companies is now held by institutional investors.
That doesn't mean that Texas hedge fund Q Group and current company leaders are in any less desperate a struggle for control of Cedar Fair. Dent says it's a common struggle, one playing out daily in American corporations.
Usually disputes are between managers who want to hang on to the profits and reinvest them versus the investors who want to have those profits paid out by dividends or repurchases of the company's stock.
But neither Q Group nor the board controls enough Cedar Fair stock. Each needs to win the hearts, actually the proxies, of small investors. Current managers had built the company into a profit leader, but in expanding it took on more than $1.5 billion in debt. Then came the recession. CEO Dick Kenzel, who recently had to give up his board chairmanship and confirm his retirement at year's end, proposed selling to Apollo Entertainment, a holding company that would absorb the debt, take Cedar Fair private, and keep management intact. But the stock buyout part of the proposal included a share price that would be at about half pre-recession levels. Q Group then went to the open market, bought enough shares of Cedar Fair to block the deal, and began appealing to thousands of small shareholders for control. Randy Hunt is a Sandusky, Ohio investment broker who owns shares of Cedar Fair.
I thought that share price they were offering was extremely cheap, and I wouldn't have voted my own family shares for it. And I think the Q Group saw the, you know, what Cedar Fair had built, and they saw it as a value.
Many other investors saw the value, too, but not just in the stock price. Sue Scheid is on the couch in the living room of her vintage bungalow on Sandusky's Monroe Street. She is a happy Cedar Fair investor.
It's paid dividends I have used since 1992, and it's been wonderful. And, of course, especially for the community, it's always been a good thing.
Hunt agrees. He says Q Group wants to maximize the value of shares, but when a company has a local footprint like Cedar Fairs, there are other considerations.
I think there's a strong feeling here. You know, we want to see it kind of stay the same way it is. And I mean, if they moved the headquarters out of here, psychologically and, you know, financially, it would be, you know, devastating.
Two big players in the struggle for Cedar Fair will square off at the next annual meeting on July 7th. But since neither has power without investor proxies, it's Cedar Fair's small investors who may prove to be the deciding factor in the fate of the amusement company. For NPR News, I'm Tim Rudell.
It's 12:43. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Typically, a discussion of the scientific projects that happen at the Batavia-based Fermilab includes talk of neutrinos and quarks. But the particle physics facility recently took part in a project that's visible to the naked eye. Along with the Peggy Notebark Nature Museum, Fermi released dozens of Baltimore checker spot butterflies at the lab's restored prairie. Tom Peterson is an engineer at Fermi who usually focuses his efforts on keeping the lab's particle accelerator cool. But in his spare time, he's a butterfly enthusiast. Peterson told Illinois Public Radio's Brian O'Keefe the butterfly project is a departure for Fermi Lab's core business.
We have a lot of land here, and our accelerator occupies a lot of space, much of it underground. So we have this open land, and we've done the prairie restoration work and have also taken good care of the woodlands and wetlands here on site. We have about 6,800 acres, so it's quite a large bit of land. And so in taking care of that land, we've also looked at the butterflies that we have here, as well as birds and other animals. And we noticed that we don't have the Baltimore checker spot, which is a butterfly that's a wetland butterfly native to this area. But we do have the habitat for it. We're not in the business of doing biology, but the opportunity came up to collaborate with the Notabert Museum and try a butterfly introduction here.
So you did recently. You did this release. I guess maybe we should back up a bit. Did you release mature butterflies, or did you? What exactly did you release into your environment there?
We released mature butterflies into the environment, and we did it in two ways. We had through a project by an Eagle Scout a few years ago. Who built some cages for us, we had the ability to put cages over some of the host plants, the turtle head, that the female Baltimore checker spots will lay their eggs on, and sort of constrain the female butterflies to stick around and not just go flying away. And so we placed some butterflies under those cages around their host plant, the turtle head, caterpillar host plant. And then the rest of the butterflies, the majority of them, were simply released out into the open to fly around and find their own way.
So what's your best hope from this project? Do you think you'll be able to encourage, say, a breeding colony?
Right. Our hope is to establish a self-sustaining breeding colony of Baltimore checker spot butterflies here in the wetlands. That may take a few years because of various factors that tend to kill the butterflies, and also the need for some genetic diversity. So there's a need to bring in probably more butterflies each year for a few years.
Can you tell me what this butterfly looks like?
Yes, it's a beautiful butterfly. It's a sort of a medium size, not as big as a monarch, but a medium sized butterfly, which is black with red and white markings, giving it its checker spot name. There's a whole group of butterflies, actually, that are called checker spots. And then Baltimore comes from the red or the red-orange coloration in it, similar to the name Baltimore Oriole, named for the red-orange color.
Do you have a sense? You mentioned that butterflies are kind of your observing butterflies kind of your hobby. Do you have
right.
a sense of how diverse of butterflies, how diverse of species you have there at Fermilab?
Yeah, we have quite a diversity of butterfly species at Fermilab because we have quite a diversity of habitats here with open fields, some of which are just mowed, some of which are prairie restoration with more native prairie plants. We have wet areas. We have woods. And each of those support different types of butterflies. So since we have all of those, we have quite a good variety. I've seen almost 60 species here over the years that I've been here. And I think the majority of those are here every year and living here on site. Some just wander through occasionally and don't necessarily stick around. But the majority of them are living here.
So one of the things over the years that I have discovered about scientists is that they are generally an optimistic lot. I know you just did this release. Do you think it's going to work?
Well, I have to tell you, 2 years ago we tried a release and it did not work. That was done by means of putting caterpillars out as opposed to the adult butterflies. We put caterpillars out on the host plants that the caterpillars feed on. And the next year we didn't see any butterflies. So I don't know exactly what happened, but the caterpillars did not survive to the next year. They overwinter, by the way. They hibernate as a small caterpillar. There's one generation per year. So those little caterpillars, you know, find a place down low on the plants and hibernate all winter there. And that's a hard time. Most of them probably die out naturally, but for some reason, none of them made it. So, yeah, maybe scientists tend to be optimistic. Of course, just doing it is an expression of optimism, I think. We hope it'll work. But I don't know. We'll see. Next year, around this time, would be when the adult butterflies emerge, so we'll be anxiously looking for them next June.
Tom Peterson is an engineer at Fermilab in Batavia, and he is also a butterfly enthusiast. He spoke with Brian Keefe.
Thank you to the thousands of friends of WILL who made contributions during the past year. The impact of your financial support makes the programs you enjoy possible. The next year will be filled with news, information, music, and performance, because you took an active role in sustaining the program's service on WILL. Thank you very much.